Blog Talk Radio.
Start your career journey with Cosmic Coaching Center and live the possibilities. Dedicated to career planning, we provide corporate and individual career solutions to middle managers and mid-career professionals. We believe you have to design and initiate your own career path, which allows you to become the CEO of your life. This is why we have partnered with WorkCanadaNow.ca, your online training connection. Their e-learning system provides a practical education, giving you the edge you need in today's job market. So let's start the conversation to discover how we can help you achieve the best of all that is possible for your career and personal goals. For more information on Cosmic Coaching Center and Work Canada Now, visit cosmiccoachingcenter.com. Prepare to live the possibilities.
Good evening, listeners. Welcome to our first show of 2015. We are your hosts, Cecile Peterkin and Anna Perrette of Cosmic Coaching Center, career and leadership coaching for middle managers and mid-level professionals. We believe that everyone has the potential to take full responsibilities for all aspects of their life and become the CEO of their life, personally and professionally. At Cosmic Coaching Center, we take the time to get to know our clients and their career path in a personal way that is encouraging and inspiring. Focusing on our clients' individual strengths, we help them discover their personal potential and unique proposition. Our radio show is another valuable source to gain additional insight, encouragement, and inspiration to go out and achieve your goals. And speaking of goals, do you want some help to achieve your goals in 2015? Anna and I would like to offer two of our listeners 1 month of free coaching to get you on the path to achieve your 2015 goals. And, you know, the top goals, it could be find a new job, change career, get fit, spend more time with your family and friends, travel, etc. Whatever it is, we would love to offer two of our listeners 1 month free of coaching to help to get you on that path. However, here is what we need you to do in order to qualify. Send us your most important or biggest goal, and biggest we mean the one that you think is going to be the most difficult to achieve. So the most important or the one that you think is going to be most difficult to achieve for this year. However, your goal must be SMART. And SMART, all uppercase, mean specific, measurable, attainable or achievable, and timely. So your goal must be SMART, S-M-A-R-T, specific, measurable, attainable, achievable, and timely. The winners will be chosen based on how well written your SMART goal is. And once that's determined, we will announce the winner on Tuesday, February 24th. So you have a month to work on your SMART goal. Make it specific, measurable, attainable or achievable, and timely. You can email your SMART goal to info@cosmiccoachingcenter.com. Don't know the name of our company. cosmiccoachingcenter.com, and center is spelled with CENTRE.com. SMART goals, specific, measurable, attainable, achievable, timely. We look forward to getting your SMART goals. And while you're doing your SMART goals, remember to visit us online as well and sign up for a 30-minute complimentary coaching session. So you can sign up for a 30-minute complimentary session or try to win 1 month of free coaching or maybe do both. So we look forward to hearing from you. Again, it's info@cosmiccoachingcenter.com, center, C-E-N-T-R-E. And tonight, our special guest is Cindy Stratton. He's an author, facilitator, keynote speaker, sales agent, and coach. And, of course, our topic tonight, since this is our first radio show of 2015, is also to help prepare you for your success for 2015. And Anna, will you be the honors and introduce Cindy?
Absolutely. I'm really looking forward to talking to Cindy this evening. And listeners, please remember, to help you achieve great success in 2015, today and tonight, Cindy will discuss proven methods to help you prepare for, recover from, and adapt to stress, adversity, and challenges that occur in our lives. And remember, you can call in any time during the show with questions for our guest, Cindy or Cecile or for myself. And the call-in number is 1-347-884-8362, and I will be covering the switchboard for this during the show. And or you can join us in the chat room that's here on blogtalkradio.com, and Cosmic Coaching Center is the hashtag. Join us in welcoming Cindy Stradling, and remember to call in with your questions again or join us in the chat room. Cindy is an author, facilitator, keynote speaker, sales agent, and coach. She brings over 25 years of practical, hands-on business experience to her work. Cindy believes that each of us has untapped potential and loves to grow individuals' experience with effective training and coaching. Cindy works with Scarborough Women's Center, delivering personal empowerment programs. She is also the founder of the annual Women Moving Forward Conference, where women are celebrated for their courage to move forward in their lives in spite of difficult circumstances. Cindy owns and operates Athena Training and Consulting and has corporations such as Canon Canada, 3M Canada, Scotia McLeod, BMO, CIBC, RSA Canada, Marsh and Mercer, Express Scripts Canada, Wonderman, and Y&R. So for more information on Cindy, our guest this evening, please visit her website at www.athenatrainingandconsulting.com. And right now we'll welcome Cindy to Up Your Game Radio. Welcome to Up Your Game Radio, Cindy.
I'm excited to be here. What a way to kick off the new year.
Absolutely. We're excited to have you here.
Yes, it is certainly a great way to get everyone started on the new year. And since we're only, it's the last of the month, so we're only a month into it, it's the perfect time for your topic. So, Cindy, tell us, why should we care about this topic?
Well, for me, it's really the world is changing, and that's actually we've created it. There's a new normal, and over the last 15 years, the rate of change is just going exponentially, and there's no sign of it stopping or slowing down. And as coaches, you and I both know that a lot of people get stuck in that stage. They have a real challenge in being able to move forward. And resilience, building resilience, is really the key to dealing with change, stress, and adversity. And I'm passionate about this. I was looking for many years for a topic that I could get my head around, that I would just feel so excited to share and to do workshops on and keynotes. And this is it. This is it for me. And just even the whole process of going through what I've gone through in the terms of the research and that, I realize that a lot of people just don't know how to cope.
Mm. Yes, I would definitely want to agree with you. And it's funny, there's so much, in the corporate world, there's so much talk about change management, because it's equated to how fast things are changing. But no one has really stopped to think about, yes, things are changing really fast, and, the corporate world is turning over quickly as well, too. And you need to be able to adapt and change as quickly. But no one has really stopped and think about the resiliency and how difficult it is for people. So, yeah, it is a great topic that you actually come up with. So
yeah.
How did you decide to come up with this?
Well, I mean, you've known me for a long time, Cecile.
Yes.
And I guess it started back in 2005. I declared I wanted to become a keynote speaker. And but I knew that I, in order for me to do that and to have a program that would be my signature program, it had to be something I was passionate about. And it literally just took me this long to find it. And it started one morning when I woke up and I was thinking about, I do a meditation every year. And one of the things, it's a 10-day silent meditation. And one of the instructions when you come back in the room into the meditation hall after a break is the instructor says, start again. And I woke up one morning and I thought, my God, how many times do we as humans have to start again? And so I started, we start again all the time, literally almost every day when you think about it. It's a brand new day. It's a new way of looking at things. And so I dug into it and I started looking at it and doing some interviews and research. And I realized what I was really talking about was resilience.
And, you know, Cindy, it's funny because, as you mentioned, yes, you and I, you know, have known each other for a long time. I've also worked together.
Yep.
And your Women Moving Forward conference is also a part of resiliency.
110%, yep.
Yes, exactly, because that's what it's all about. And that, you know, I was there the first and second year, and then last year, because of my sprained ankle, I wasn't able to make it. But those 2 years, those are amazing conferences. So when you think about it, you are already on that path.
Exactly. When I look back now, and it's funny because some experiences happened, funny experiences where as I was learning new things, the universe provides, and
yes.
Opportunities would come to practice what I was learning. And the thing about the Women Moving Forward conference is, like, some of these women have come through major adversity. And to actually get an email from them, you know, some of the women have gone through horrific things, and now they're going to school, they're self-sufficient, and it's not only just the conference. I just have connection to these people, and I just think we don't celebrate it enough, and that was where that whole thing came about, was we needed to celebrate their courage. And so we're having another one this year, and we hope to continue for years and years to come.
Yeah, yes, it's a great conference. So you're well on your way and well-equipped to actually be a keynote speaker on this topic.
Yeah.
So that's great.
Cool.
Yeah, and congratulations for getting
Thank
there.
Thank you.
Yes. Yeah,
absolutely.
It's exciting. I love it. So I know what resilience is all about and what it can do for me, but what can you tell our listeners? What can resilience do for them? What can they get from that?
Okay. So, you know, most people don't succeed the first attempt they reach their goals. As you well know, you just offered this free coaching session around setting SMART goals.
Mm-hmm.
And I know from my own coaching business that small increments over time is really what works. But unfortunately, a lot of the people I work with, they try once, maybe twice, and then they give up. And so people with resilience never give up. They have a vision, they have a passion, and it may take them longer than what they expect to do, but they have the fortitude, they have the mental attitude, they have the support systems, they have the structure, they have everything that it takes to make them be successful. And, you know, regardless of any setbacks, they just keep going. They work through disappointment, frustration, and failure. And if you look at anybody who's ever accomplished anything in their life, they fail more than they succeeded. They absolutely fell down flat on their face, got back up, and went at it again. That's resilience. Unfortunately, a lot of people will fall down and they won't get back up.
Mm-hmm.
Or they stay down too long.
Yes,
that's
yes,
very, very true. It's I coined the term the stick to it factor.
Mm-hmm.
The longer you stick to it, the more results you will get. So
absolutely,
resilience really
yep.
is really key in so many areas of your of living and being, especially in today's world, like Cecile mentioned about change management and adapting quickly. What is it that you find in regards to resilience that is difficult to get or to acquire? Is it difficult to acquire for some people? And what is the mindset to change us from a, okay, after the first or second failure, I can't do this, to moving beyond that into, you know what, I'll do it as long as it takes. Can you help us with that?
Well, I think it really boils down to your passion. I think, you know, when you see someone who's passionate about anything, whether it's a cause or whether it's their own personal gain or whether they're out there to make a difference in the world, whatever it is, those are the kind of people that actually make a difference. When I think about, as examples of people in our real life, when I think about someone like, I don't know if you know who Amy Purdy was. She was a lady who was at age 19. She had her knees, from her knees down, cut off. She was amputated from below the knees. And she had prosthetics created for them. And within less than a year, she was actually competing with riding a snowboard. And how I actually even got to know her was she won second place last year on Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, yes, yes.
And
yes.
It's like, when you, if you ever followed her life, it was like she was so passionate about being active, about snowboarding, about dancing, about just living life, that even though they cut off bottom of her legs, didn't stop her. That's passion. That's resilience. Now, fortunately, most of us don't have to live through that, but that's what I'm talking about, that it doesn't matter. And, you know, I look at my own life. You know, my sister, when I talk to my sister about it, she says it's a perfect topic for you. Without getting into a long story, there's been many, many things that it would have stopped many people, and it just never stopped me because I really do believe each of us, and that's what keeps me going, is, and I'm sure you too as well because you're coaches, is that everybody has untapped potential. And when we coach somebody to break down a barrier or to see something just a tiny bit different, or they just get that muscle a little bit stronger, whatever they're going for, it's probably the most rewarding experience on the planet.
Yes, it is. And that's why we have Namer Show Up Your Game. And, you know, we are the firm believer that you are the CEO of your life.
Yep.
Yeah, you manage it because it's so true. You manage it and you manage it to your fullest. And it takes resilience to continually managing your life because, coming back to your topic, things are changing.
Yep.
And they're going to, challenges are always going to be in your life. And it's, you know, to make sure you can overcome those challenges for more, even more growth.
Right.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
I mean, when something happens, we can do one of two things, right? I always say it's like you have the option of two buckets. So you have a bucket of water where you can diffuse all the drama, or you can have a bucket of gas that's going to actually explode it and make it bigger than what it really needs to be. So it's really, the truth is, it's not what happens to you. It's how you respond to life's events.
Right. Yes, it's your reaction to what has happened. I like your analogy though with the buckets.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I love that. That's good. That's good.
Well, we all know those people that, it's funny because I won't mention any names in case you ever listen to the show, but there's always those people that have so much drama.
Yes.
It's just like, really? Seriously? You're all upset about that? You know?
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, my God. It's blah, 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 blah. And I think in the whole world, in the scheme of things, it really means nothing. And you create all this stress.
Oh, my God. We were talking about this earlier, weren't we, Cecile? That, just... It's so drama-induced over something that is so, it's almost like a little sliver in the bottom of your nail. You know, the picture of the scheme of things, it really is so minor. But I guess it feels comfortable for some people to look at that because the big picture is so frightening for them. Because they're not sure if they can actually handle the big picture of their living and becoming the CEO of their lives. So let's look at this small little item to take away the focus of I'm not really doing what I need to do. But truthfully, I know I'm not doing it, but this has taken my energy now. I can't focus on that.
And then you're so exhausted from all of that, you don't do anything else.
Yes,
I know.
Yes. Yeah, it's
Well, look, my heel broke. I can't go out. Like, really?
Yeah. I've been sick for days. Don't you understand?
Yeah, that is so... That is so true. And it's funny because people live their lives like that for a very, very long time.
And I don't know if you find it, but I find it in coaching that sometimes a strategy or something will actually cause them to go, you know, things have got to change, and they'll actually get a coach or a therapist or talk to a friend, or they will reach out and create support. Because a lot of people live, and God bless him, Robin Williams.
Yes.
There's so many people that are living in a dark place. There's so many people that are so afraid that as a society, we don't accept mental health. I mean, we're getting better with the Bell Talk and all the Sarah's Ride and all that kind of, Clara's Ride and all that kind of stuff. But truthfully, a lot of people don't understand it.
That is so true. And what you said that about people living in darkness, yes, it is. And, you know, it's this thing about they'll say to people, oh, gee, just suck it up, or, you know, just get up and do this or get up and do that, because a lot of people don't understand it. Yeah, it's that lack of understanding and the stigma behind it as well, too. But there's no stigma about being diabetic or having cancer.
No, having heart disease or cholesterol. And they would never think anything of someone being on cholesterol medication, but they would definitely about an antidepressant. In fact, I don't know if you – I think you know this, Cecile. For many years, I was on Zoloft, which is an antidepressant.
Oh, yes.
For 10 years, and I – wanted to get off of it, didn't know how, met a naturopath who said meditation would help me, and tried many different kinds of meditation. Nothing really worked. Found a 10-day silent course up north, and literally within 3 months of coming back from that, I went off my medication, and that was like almost 12 years ago, and I've never had a pill since.
And here you are today. So talking about resilience, you're the perfect person.
Exactly.
You're the poster
you
child.
Are. Yeah, exactly.
The perfect
exactly.
person to speak about this.
And I never,
about...
ever... Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, some people say to me, Cindy, why do you say that to people? Like, why would you say that out loud? And I said, because if I can help one other person get off their drugs, then it's worth it. And I'm not ashamed of anything. I did nothing wrong.
No,
like there's
you didn't
like
kill
I don't
anyone.
Get that. I really, but so no. I've had people go, no, it'll harm your reputation.
My
I said anybody
God.
That would think less of me, they're not
oh
even worth
God.
Knowing.
No,
absolutely, Cindy. You know, and this goes hand in hand with what I was about to say. You mentioned Robin Williams, and I have an affinity for Robin Williams because we were both born on the same date, July 21st.
Oh, wow.
And I was reading an article about him, and there was a doctor speaking about depression, and he said quite blatantly, I'm not understanding where the challenge is about mental health, and I'll tell it to you this way. We have kidney, which is an organ. We have a heart that is an organ. Why is the brain, the mind, that is an organ encompassed in the same body, treated differently in our society?
Yeah.
It's the same as having an organ, which is kidney. Organ equals heart. Organ equals brain.
Yep.
So why is the stigma there? So when he pointed it down to that level, I thought, where is the stigma? Where is this fear? Because we're afraid of things unseen.
Yep.
Which is so odd.
Yes, and you know it has to do with the mind as well too. You see, any other disease or illnesses that we have, it has nothing to do with the brain or the mind. It's more tangible where you know it's cancer. You don't have control over those, and I think people just think that when you're depressed or you're bipolar, any form of mental illness, it's that you have control over it, and this is why people use term like you know, come on, just buck up and. You know, get up and shake it off.
Yes.
People like that have never really experienced depression.
They have not.
Because you can suck it up, but it doesn't work that way. Yeah.
I think it's the definition of depression. People, when you say the word depression, think sadness. Depression equals sadness. But that's not it at all.
No, it's actually
it's lack
physical.
Of.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's depression does not equal sadness.
No.
It's not about sadness. It's about so much. It's about so much, as you know, as you can tell, I'm very passionate about this subject.
Yeah.
Well.
No. But that's part of resilience,
and it's so
right?
True.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's part of moving past mm-hmm. it all. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, and I reiterate what my business partner Cecile mentioned, Cindy. You are the perfect person to speak about resilience. Look at what you've done and accomplished, and show that to the world about you can resolve, you can have the resolution to actually move ahead.
Right.
So thank you for doing your work.
Oh, my pleasure. And the thing, I guess the thing that I really want to emphasize to everybody, and when I work at the Scarborough Women's Center or when I'm doing the work with the Women's Moving Forward Conference, is that, you know, we can all see idols like, you know, Oprah Winfrey and things like that. But, you know, it's everyday heroes. There's people
yes.
around us. There's one lady that comes to our conference, and she had bipolar, and the medication that she was on made her hand shake so much. She always wanted to have her own jewelry business. She wanted to be able to make earrings. Well, you can imagine trying to do earrings or trying to make any kind of fine jewelry if your hands are shaking so bad, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember meeting her over 2 years ago, and she's actually a keynote speaker for an event on International Women's Day, and she has her own line of jewelry.
Wow.
That's
fantastic.
That is resilient.
That is resilient.
Yes.
Yeah.
Powerful
example.
And as we're on resilience and giving so many different examples of resilience now, and we've talked about this as you were talking, we talked around it, but is resilience difficult to acquire?
Well, it's like anything new, right? So like any learning, it takes new time. You know, it's not about how hard we get hit, but how much you can get hit and keep moving up. And learning new skills and techniques, like anything else you're going to learn, will take time. It's like practice. And the first level of all of it is awareness of how you actually react now. So when somebody said, we all have triggers, right?
Yes.
So, and the only way you can get triggered by anything is if at some level you agree with it. So if you haven't said it to yourself or you don't agree with it. So if I said to you, as an example, say you're a PhD and I said to you, well, I think you're really stupid, right? You've got, in your mind, you're going to go, she doesn't know what she's talking about.
Yes.
But if at some level you didn't think you were as smart as maybe what the world thought you were and you had a deep belief that you weren't as smart as everybody else and I said you're stupid, that could trigger you.
Yes.
But the only way it can trigger you is if at some level you agree with the statement. And so one of the things I do in my resilience course is I do it's like a criticism test. Mm-hmm. And I have people go through this and read to each other and just to feel in their bodies what area triggers them. So if it's looks, some people will say, you know, you're short or you've got a big nose or you whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And unless they've said that to themselves, it would not trigger inside them. But the real key is having awareness so that you know if you get triggered, you go, oh, I've been triggered. In fact, I'll share a really quick example. So what happens when you get stressed out is that your body releases what's called cortisol.
Right.
And it goes to your frontal cortex of your brain, which is where all your rational thinking takes place. And so what happens is when you get stressed, you release cortisol, 60% of that rational part of your brain shuts down. Your amygdala, which is your emotional part of the brain, actually stays at 100%. So if you think about it, here you are, you're stressed, you've got all these chemicals, all these hormones running through your body, 60% of your rational brain is shut down. You've got 40% to work with, but you've got 100% emotion.
Emotion, yes.
That's why
people
lash out. That's why people say things they don't mean to say.
Oh.
They have not even given any thought. Like some people, I've done it myself. I say, God, I don't know where I said that. I'm sorry. I don't know where that came from. That's exactly what happened. And the first sign that you're getting into that sort of flight or fright mode. Anyway, everybody knows what I'm talking about. You actually can tell in your breathing. So your breathing goes from belly to up to your chest, and often there's even a tightness. And I recently had this happen to me. I have a new boyfriend, and he said something to me that triggered me, right? Now, for the rest of the world, this would have meant nothing. They would have thought, are you kidding me, Cindy? Really? You would get upset about that. But it triggered something from the past, and it was very meaningful to me. But I caught it right away, Yes. And I thought to myself, this has nothing to do with him. This is me. And so I excused myself, and I went to the pantry. And how you can actually calm yourself down is breathing, like actually doing big belly breaths for 3 to 4 minutes. And I could actually feel myself calming down. And while I was still a little bit, maybe not 100% when I come out of the pantry, because it would look ridiculous how long I was staying in there, I never said anything. He never knew until he actually heard me practicing my speech one night, and he goes, "Really? That's what you did?"
Yes.
And that,
yeah.
But it's a tool, right? So yes. You know to be able to handle it.
Yeah, it's always walk away. It's true. Whenever you feel that, this one I learned from my dad, it's like if you're very upset and you know you're going to lose your cool, it's walk away.
Yep.
Don't say anything. When you calm down, then you can address the situation. Because
yep.
You're more rational and you're not dealing with emotions. Yes. Yeah, because, yes, that is so true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's probably
funny.
The biggest technique. There's another one, too, if somebody's really, 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 really. I've started doing some ADHD coaching.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the techniques that we learned to help someone who's, like, really panicking and really out of, you know, really not coherent, like some people really get overexcited and overzealous, you just have them write with their non-dominant hand. And you can have them.
Really?
Yeah, I actually did that very recently. One of the girls I was working with was completely couldn't talk to her. She was just over the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just said to her, okay, go sit down. I want you to grab a pen and a paper. She said, okay. And I said, I want you to write, I can do this 10 times with your non-dominant hand. By the time she was finished on the test, she goes, oh, my God, I'm so calm now.
Yeah, okay.
So you can
what
do that for yourself.
What's the science behind that, Cindy, about writing with your non-dominant hand?
The focus.
You actually,
yeah. It's actually a state change. It's actually a deferral. Deferring from what you're actually focused. So as long as your brain is focusing on what you're upset about, you're giving it all that energy. But you're actually engaging a different part of the brain, which actually takes the focus off what you're upset about.
I see. I know you said focus. I wasn't sure how it did it, though. So it forces your brain because it takes more energy to write with your non-dominant hand. So it takes you out of that mindset.
And it just changes your focus altogether, right? So you're just like really focusing on holding it and how's it going to move and all that kind of thing. And,
yeah,
I mean, I've never had to use it myself. I've never actually used it myself. But I can imagine if you had the wherewithal to actually do that, if you caught yourself like really panicking, there's no reason in the world why you couldn't do it yourself.
Yes, because an ADHD person, they become really fixated on things.
Yeah, they are hyper-focused, yeah.
Yes, they're really fixated. So by doing that right with the less dominant hand, now their focus is off what is upsetting them, and they're now focusing on the writing, using the non-dominant hand to write.
Yeah.
So it will calm them down, because that's why they get so excited and agitated, because they're really fixated, and whatever is in their brain, they want to let it out and talk about it immediately.
Right,
so,
and they want to be so. By doing that, then you can actually talk about it. Then you can actually create a strategy and find a solution. And
Mm-hmm. It makes sense. It makes sense when you really see what you're dealing with, and that when you think about it, that's also resilience.
Yeah, and
yeah.
You could do it with anybody. Like it wouldn't necessarily. I just happened to do it with a coach. But I was coaching an ADHD person that was a little bit upset. But you could do it with your. You actually do it even with your kids.
Oh, yeah, but it just makes sense. It gives you a good understanding with the ADHD person because you know how they react if they're fixated on that particular thing at the time.
Yeah.
But,
it's a tool, right? So we all need tools to cope.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and that's, and it's funny because everything that we're talking about is basically lead up to your program about resilience, because that's what it is. It's having coping mechanism to get you to that next place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to get through whatever comes your way.
Right, right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, how can someone recognize resilience in other people? Because, you know, a lot of times when you can see how other people are reacting, you know, you admire that person or you can emulate them to help yourself. So how can you recognize resilience in other people?
Well, you see, they manage to cope with whatever's coming through, coming at them, and they have a good example. I always like to use examples of people. So if you think of someone like Christopher Reeve.
Yes.
So
yes.
He went from Superman to a paraplegic in a matter of seconds.
Yeah.
Right? Now, he could have stayed in his wheelchair. He could have been out of the limelight, out of the public's view, and nobody would have thought anything of it. They would never, but he didn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He
wanted
the world to know more about spinal cord injury. And so he took it on to become a spokesperson for that and raise awareness for that and raise money for that, right? So that's what we look for. You look for a leader in an organization that when the going gets tough, they don't go to the background. They are actually out in the front, and they're actually demonstrating that while we're having difficult times, like President Obama, like he's very resilient. He would be another person. But people in your own life, I look at, you know, you could probably look at your aunts or your uncles or look at the people that have come through wars or the people that have come through all kinds of adversity, and they still have a smile on their face. So there's people that come through those things and they bitch and they complain and they're still talking about what happened to them 15 years ago. Right?
Yes.
So they're not,
yes.
I wouldn't consider them particularly resilient. They're not thriving through anything.
Right.
They're surviving.
So with that in mind, Cindy, you know, because we're talking about, when we first started, the new norm, you know, things are changing and moving so quickly. Now, would you say, when you look at the different eras, would you say that resilience is the same today as it was 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago?
Oh, God. I think that there was a much slower pace of living before.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
I think it's, you know, the Internet has actually made it possible for everyone to access information and help us with new coping tools, and you can actually do it all for free. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't do that. But I think it's even more important today just because of the rate of speed in terms of what we're looking. I mean, you think back. I mean, I even think back to even 15 years ago, 20 years ago, before we even had Internet, before
Internet,
there was email.
Yes.
I remember when the fax was a big deal. Now I'm really dating myself.
Yes, I do, too. I do, too.
It's like, oh, my God, look at that. They put it in this end of the machine and it come out way over there. Holy mackerel. What's happening to this world? But it was so slow by comparison. Now we can't, and heaven only knows what's going to be happening 5 years from now.
Yeah, you know, it's
2 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people just refuse. They absolutely refuse to be part of it.
Actually, no, there are a lot of people, you're right, there are a lot of people that, you know, they don't use a smartphone, they rarely use a computer. When they do, they limit how much time they spend on it, they just don't get involved. And I have a question for you, Cindy. I was at, I do volunteer for the Junior League of Toronto, and I was just at the membership meeting, and our guest speaker was actually speaking about stress and kids and how kids are very stressed today compared to, as we're talking about, 10, 15, 30 years ago. And it's because, again, they're exposed to so much more. Because one example they used was that during the World War, you knew about the war, but because there was no television showing you what was actually going on, there wasn't so much impact on a child compared to now that it's all over the news. Now, how can you power resilience so that a lot of things that's going on now that's affecting kids, that's creating so much stress on them, you know, they can actually work towards alleviating so much stress. How would you teach them resilience?
For kids,
yeah.
Well, they got to see by example, first of all.
Okay. Uh-huh.
So I really think that kids actually model what they see, whether
right.
it's a teacher, whether it's a relative, or... And I think it starts out with the parents. I think the parents have to really instill really good values and,
mm-hmm.
you know, create for them an environment where, you know, there's a limited amount of exposure to those kind of things, like a limited amount of time that they can actually watch those kind of things at a younger age. I mean, at a certain point, people are going to have to pick up and take off for themselves.
Yeah,
but I think some of it goes back to old-fashioned fun. Like I look at you know, I have two sets of grandchildren, and one set of grandchildren when they're with me, they all the time they're on their iPhones or their iPads or their something, right? They're very rarely engaging with me, whereas the other set of families, we'll sit down and we'll play, it's called Jenga, which is a game with,
Yes.
I love it. And we'll sit on the floor, we'll go to the movies, you know, my granddaughter will help me in the kitchen. And all of those things, some of those old-fashioned things, are to me are really, really important. And I think that sometimes parents just use that technology as a way to entertain their kids, and they're not giving them the tools to actually cope.
Right, right. Yes,
they have access to things that I mean, I don't know, when I was growing up, and I don't want to sound like some old bird that, you know, is not modern at all. Absolutely not. And I think in some ways, those kids are brilliant. You give them any kind of thing intuitively, they know exactly how to work with it, right?
Yes.
So that part of it's good. But I think as far as bullying, you know, giving kids really strong, healthy values and that they have confidence, because I think that's what happens is the peer pressure. If they have strong confidence, they won't smoke, they won't do drugs, they won't put up with bullying, and I believe all that starts at home.
Yeah, that's true. You know what? I would have to agree with you on that. Yes. Yeah,
yes,
because that's where you get your grounded behavior and learning at that early stage.
Right. And the thing
yes.
is, there's going to be kids that will go astray, but I'm talking about the majority. I would say that's the majority, because there's always it's funny, when you make a statement like that, you'll always have someone come up with an exception, right? So I always like to qualify that and say
yes.
this is my opinion, and it's to me, it would be more the norm than it would be. There's always exceptions to everything. So.
Oh yes, there's always always exception. But for the most part, it's true though, because your parents is the first people that you learn from.
Mm-hmm.
So you tend to emulate their. You know, if your parents are very stressful and they're always stressed and you're feeling their stress, eventually you're going to be that way as well. So,
yep.
So what you say makes sense. If your parents are resilient, you know, if there's a challenge or anything, even for yourself, if you come home from a difficult day from school, your parents help bring you out of it. That's a way of teaching you resilience. So I would agree with you. That for the most part, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, when they become teenagers, that's a whole other world.
Well, yes. Oh, yes.
So true.
Yeah, that's a whole different, you know, kettle of fish.
Yeah.
And this really leads into a question that I was about to ask. It's like, where does resilience come from? And, you know, how do you go about getting it? But, again, it goes way back.
Yeah.
And
your thinking and attitude has a lot to do with it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like all of that. Because I always say everything starts with your thinking.
Mm-hmm.
How you think about any event. And I'll give you another, I love examples. So,
yes.
When I was in Costa Rica a few years ago, I don't know, about 5-6 years ago, I was going to, I was walking in front of the pool, and there was a group of ladies sitting there, and I happened to look over, and one of them pointed at me, and they were all talking. And I thought they were making fun of me. That was my first impression,
right.
Was like they're making fun of me. I was like, what the heck's the matter with me? And I was like, all of a sudden I'm looking and making sure that nothing's hanging out. And so I come back and they did the same thing when I walked by again. I was like, what the heck's going on? I said to my friend, I said, what's that all about? No, I don't know. So that night at the buffet, one of the ladies come up to me and said, me and my girlfriends and I were watching you walk by the pool today, and we really love your beach cover up, and we wanted to know where you bought it.
There
you
go.
It was a really good example of what they call negativity bias. So according to Psychology Today, we have between 60 and 80,000 thoughts a day. And so what that means, if there's 86,400 seconds in a 24-hour period, we have every 1.2 seconds we have a thought. And according to Psychology Today, 70% of those are negative. And they call it negative dominance. And so, you know, at an unconscious level, we have less confidence, we're more pessimistic than what we actually even allow up into our unconscious mind. And that was a perfect example, because I'm a pretty positive person, and yet the first thing I did was think that there was something wrong or they were making fun of me. It never occurred to me that they were admiring my beach cover-up.
Mm-hmm.
And how often do we do that?
Yes, that is true. That is so true. Yes, and it's funny because I know someone. It's like that. She was work out together at the gym, and she was complaining to me about this girl that keeps looking at her. I said, "Have you ever stopped to think that she likes what she sees? She's admiring you." And she said to me, "Oh my God, you know, I never stopped to think about that." I said, "Well, you should. Whenever people keep looking at me, I just figure, oh well, they must like something."
Exactly. There must be something.
So yeah, it's true. And it's just turning the whole thing around instead of saying, oh, my God, something is wrong with me. And you're right, Cindy, because you have to have that confidence that when you got up in the morning, you got dressed and put everything on, you felt good about yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, therefore, if someone is looking at me, that simply means they also like me because I like me, too.
Yeah. And I think, you know, developing resilience, you talk about going to a gym, it's a lot like going to a gym. It's a muscle that needs to be practiced.
Yes.
And so if you practice positive coping skills consistently, you start to rewire your brain. You create new neural connectors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, much like going to the gym, if you stop exercising, you'll lose muscle. So the most important thing is if you get off track, get back on. So once you, you know, it's not about being perfect. It's
right.
Your level of awareness is like, oops, I slipped up, or oh, that I could have handled that differently, and then you just do better next time. But it's a muscle that you have to grow.
And which brought us back to what you said earlier, it's that awareness piece.
Yeah,
it's having the awareness to bring yourself out of, you know, negativity and turn it around by just being aware. Yeah. You know, awareness is just so, it's very powerful.
Yeah.
It's very powerful. And, you know, oh, geez, we're getting to that time.
Goodness, it's 10.
Oh, I know. This is such a great conversation, though. It's really a good conversation to start the year off. I really like it. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, for most people, you know, when most people work on themselves, and as coaches, we all know this, where a client came to you and they're down and out, despondent, I don't know what I'm going to do with my life or my job or whatever. And then after working through it with them and working with them, they're feeling good, they're feeling on top of the world. But, of course, now they start to get all panicky because they figured, okay, my coaching, I've been with you now for 3, 6 months, whatever, and now I'm leaving, you're setting me loose. Oh, my God, am I going to lose it? Now, I'm sure people are going to feel the same way about resilience. Is this, you know, something that they're going to lose? And how do they keep it going?
Well, I think it's, again, like going to the gym. I think your mental awareness is really is an ongoing process. And I think that, you know, especially when you're faced with new things, you might be experiencing, you know, different kinds of upset or insecurities or things like that. But I think the most important is to have a really good, sound support system. I think that's one of the things that is, first of all, accepting that life has ups and downs. And when something happens, before you react to it, like really look at what happened, like what really happened versus, and there's, we used to do this exercise called Just the Facts, Ma'am, Just the Facts. It was an old TV show they used to do. And it was just like, what is the facts? And then what are you going to make up about that? Like, what are you going to make it mean? Or how, you know, how long are you going to spend on it? Like actually making decisions around it, right? So if you may have, you know, and often, I mean, really, it's all is attitude. And I mean, we all know people who have, like, lost their job or been right-sized or downsized, whatever you want to call it. They end up starting their own business, getting a better job, and it ends up being the best thing that ever happened to them. So optimism is absolutely critical. Having goals is paramount. So having a goal for your life, having a goal for your job, being passionate, having high values, setting boundaries, all of the, having healthy self-esteem, all of those things all go hand in hand to build more resilience.
Okay, excellent. Wonderful. Cindy, it has been a pleasure, as always. We haven't seen each other in a while, but it was great having you on the show. Yes.
Yeah,
and,
it was wonderful. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, our pleasure. And good luck with this program and the keynote speaking.
I will. I'm going to do it myself.
I know.
Okay, I'm passionate, so it'll definitely work.
Exactly, and it's a great topic. And, yes, yeah, and, you know, everyone loves a story, and you have some really good stories to back up your topic.
Right.
So I think that's fantastic.
Absolutely. Okay, thank you so much for having me.
Wonderful.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much.
Wow, that was very good.
That was awesome. And what a great start. What a great topic for the start of the year about resilience and starting off the year. So this really sets the tone for all our listeners to really focus on your resilience factor and actually stick with it. Isn't it, Cecile?
Yes, it is. It is, you know, and like you said as well, to stick with it, it's the goals that you set for yourself, not New Year's resolution. I hate that. The goals that you have set for yourself, it's sticking with it. And as Cindy mentioned, you know, it's not the falling down. It's the getting up and getting up fast enough, because the longer you stay down, it's the harder it is to get up. And I always think to myself, and always say that people who haven't fallen down have not grown or learned anything. Mm-hmm. And but the people who have fallen down, you have learned so much and gained so much more experience and so much growth. And that's what life is all about. You know, it's learning.
Absolutely.
And growing, and make sure, you know, you're passionate about what you're doing, as Cindy mentioned, and you have your goals, so you have something that you're working on and looking forward to. And this is one of the reasons why we're offering our listeners this contest, that we want to help two of our listeners, get a start on achieving their goals for 2015. It's still not too late to get your goals in order. So send us your SMART goals. Make them SMART, specific, measurable, attainable, achievable, and timely. And email it to info@cosmiccoachingcenter.com. And by Tuesday, February 24th, two listeners will be on their way to having a successful, goal-filled, resilient 2015.
Absolutely.
So we look forward
we can
to
help
that.
Them.
Yeah.
We can help them build the resilience, because I'm sure, you know, especially if it's a goal that, you know, our clients are stuck on, we always see a change in them once they realize that it's in the steps that they've taken and actually sticking with the coaching program that's personalized for their goal path, either be it the career or whatever it is, that the moment they realize that they're not really stuck, is more sticking to it, they realize it becomes reality right before their eyes. And from that win of a goal realized, resilience, they realize how resilient they truly are, because I think resilience is a natural ability we have. We've just forgotten it in today's world and stress, because when you think about it, human race has adapted to world change as it goes. So either, you know, you stay and get adapted and be successful, or you don't. And those who seek out coaching are the most adaptable and resilient people, because they're the ones who seek us out, because they know there's more in them.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
And I love what you said, they have the ability. And the thing about it is, yes, we all have the ability to do a lot of things, but if you don't tap into that ability, because that's part of your potential, if you don't tap into that and you remain untapped, you are so right. You'll never really achieve the things that you'd like to achieve. So resilience is something that if we tap into it, we can have it, definitely.
Absolutely.
So, and we would love to help two people, you know, tap into their potential and succeed at their goal this year. So, again, I suddenly get tongue-tied. Send us your SMART goals, info@cosmiccoachingcenter.com, and we look forward to hearing from you. And don't forget to also go to our website, cosmiccoachingcenter.com, where there are free products, different assessment that can also help you, life assessment, leadership assessment, coaching assessment. So check us out on our website for our free products that can also help you get started on your plans for 2015. And you can also follow us on Twitter @CosmicCareer, or you can visit our Facebook page, and while you're there, like us on Facebook, and send us an email at info@cosmiccoachingcenter.com. And we look forward to hearing from you, whatever tools you're using, Facebook, Twitter, or website, or our email. We'll love to hear from you, so drop us a line. And remember, as we discussed tonight, success and happiness are not accidents. They are created by a certain way of thinking and acting. So create your way into success and happiness. Because at Cosmic Coaching Center, your success is our mission. So thank you once again for spending this time with us, and have an inspiring week.
Challenge, motivation, accountability, support. These are just a few things that a coach provides. At CCC, coaching is a partnership where we walk by your side, encouraging you and developing strategies to help you achieve personal and professional accomplishments. We all have our own inner wisdom, achievements, and experiences we can draw on as a good source of guidance. Past performance normally predicts future success. As we are always broadening our idea of what a coach provides the client, we began thinking of new ways to complement our service to you. iAnthem was the answer. Cosmic Coaching Center collaborated with Eloquent Notes to create personalized inspirational pieces that help our clients stay motivated on their journey. Your answers to 12 questions are crafted into a personal lyrical anthem. Using your strengths and past experiences to motivate and inspire, this creative encouragement will help to support you on your path to success. iAnthem, the orchestra of your past, playing the music of your future. For more information, visit CosmicCoachingCenter.com.